my life I listened. I listened to the sounds about me, like a blanket enveloping me all around. The sound of birds calling and wheeling in the air, the sound of leaves rustling in the wind, the braying of a donkey, the barking and sniffing of dogs, the early morning call of the rooster, the mumbles behind windows as shutters clanged open, the rattle of a cart on the stones, the thump of tables being erected in the market, the clucking and squawking of hens, the laughter of children, the furious call of a mother. I heard all this, all around me. But that is not all. I listened all my life, and I heard people talking about me. I could not see, so perhaps they thought I could not hear. But I heard. The questions, the wondering. What had I done? What wrong had my parents done? Nothing, as far as I knew. Yet that is not what fascinated me the most as I lived in my dark world. What fascinated me most was colour. All the time I heard people talking about colour, the colour of the sky, the colour of clothes, the colour of meat, the colour of the temple, the colour of the leaves, the colour of a new rug, colour, colour, colour. And I had no idea what that meant. So sounds became colours for me. Old Ben and his rickety cart was warm orange. The priest, who sometimes offered a blessing, was purple. The old widow, who passed me scraps of food, was bright yellow. The cold wind whistling from behind was blue. My own colours, my own world. Then came another priest, one I had heard whisperings about, and the same old questions about me. But this time was different. Before I knew it, mud in my eyes, a hand pulling me up, and a voice commanding me to wash, I stumbled to the pool and sank my head into the water. Then I was transfigured. Everything changed. It was a revelation, a new dawn, light for the first time. But not just light, I saw colour, beautiful colour, and everything changed.
Thank you, Ian, for introducing our service this morning. Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all here this morning, and a welcome if you're visiting. We have tea and coffee in the hall after the service, and everyone's welcome to come through and join us for some time there as well. Your order of service sheet has quite a number of intimations there, maybe just to highlight one or two, and to give you one that's not there. There's a service at the Deeside Care Home this afternoon at 2:30, and anybody who would like to join us along the road would be very, very welcome to join in the service there. And the Monday Squad start their work again tomorrow, so if you want to be part of the Monday Squad, then 9:30 at the Shed. Later this week, we have a Kirk Session meeting to remind those of you that are in the Kirk Session. And next Sunday afternoon, the next Sunday afternoon Music in the Sanctuary concert is on the 21st, is that right? Next, yes. So please, if you want to come and join in for that too, please feel very welcome. The intimation that's not there is that we have a meeting on Tuesday at 3:30 along at the Hub for anybody who has been involved in or would like to be involved in Messy Church. We're very keen to get this going again. And so if you would like to come along at 3:30, if you can, on Tuesday, then we'll have a wee chat about things and see if we can't get it all up and running again. And if you can't come on Tuesday, but you're interested in being part of Messy Church, if you maybe want to let me know, and I can inform you what happens at our meeting on Tuesday. But I'll leave you to read everything else that's there. There is a mystery at the heart of things, and it is alive, and sings its song into all that is moribund and plain. It is born of a wonder that only increases, for in exploring the wonder grows, and understanding a greater puzzle is revealed. The more we dive into the riddle, we find a yet greater enigma. Here, let us gather around the greatest of all mysteries, where faith can only offer belief and wonder and daring adventure enough to transfigure and behold the whole universe in resurrection truth. Come, let us wander into the mystery of God. We stand and sing hymn 127, O worship the King, all glories above. Let's come to God in prayer. God of light and life, eyes to see, ears to hear, lips to shout for joy. Holy One, the blessing of sight and light cannot be overestimated. The light of the sun after a cloudy day, the bright moon on a dark night, the light that shines in a loved one's heart. All these come from you. All these we receive from you. Forgive us when we take our own blessings for granted and forget those who cannot see. Forgive us when we use language that excludes, forgetting that not everyone is the same. Forgive us when we make harsh judgments and assume the fault lies with others, forgetting that what we see is not the whole picture. Forgive us when through ignorance or insensitivity we cause hurt or pain to others, forgetting that each one is your beloved child. Forgive us, we pray, and teach us to pause, to listen, to think, so that we may follow your Son's leading more closely every day. And hear us as we join our hearts and voices in the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ian read a lovely reflection at the beginning of the service, which told the story of a man's transformation. He went from not being able to see colour to being able to see the beautiful things around him. And I brought something with me this morning that should be beautiful. It should be beautiful. It's a nice picture frame, and in it's a picture of myself and my husband and our two children when they were just tiny wee toots, along with my mother and father-in-law and sister-in-law. But the picture frame is a wee bit tarnished. It's a bit grey and grubby. So I'm wondering what might happen if actually I took some cleaning material to it and if it would maybe look a bit better. So I'm going to have a wee seat to do this. Seal. Right. Sorry. Excuse me while I do my housework. Let's see. Anyway, we'll put a wee dot of this on here. And if I rub, we'll see what happens. Do you want to come have a look closer? Look. You can tell everybody if it makes a difference. It's how it's quite dark and dirty looking, isn't it? So if I rub this on here, what's happening?
It's starting to get more shiny.
It's starting to get more shiny. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And all I had to do was rub on silk. It really is grubby. And did you want to come and have a look as well? Right, there we go. See, it's looking, that bit there is looking nice and shiny. We'll give it another go. We'll try another dollop. Right. Another wee little one here. Okay, so what's up, Jack? If I carry on up here with it and round the corner and see if I can get this. Let's see. It's looking at a difference. Maybe everybody will start to see a difference. There might be enough of a difference for folk to see. Right, okay, nice. Starting to see a difference? This top corner, lovely and shiny. Lovely and shiny. Right, and that is actually going to just transform the picture that's in the frame. Because if it's all nice and shiny, then the picture in the middle will stand out a little bit more and it'll look quite pretty, won't it? Like, that's me when I was only 20-something. A long time ago now. Yeah. My husband's hair was quite dark there. It's a bit more salt and pepper now. Anyway, so that picture is going to be transformed if we carry on cleaning the frame. And the story that Ian read this morning, and the one that we're going to hear shortly in church, it's about a man who was blind, and Jesus came along and rubbed something on his eyes, a little bit like I rubbed my silver cleaner on my silver frame, and that man's life was transformed because he was then able to see. And all the things that he had to try and imagine in his head before, or the things he heard, suddenly came alive in a completely new way for him because Jesus had transformed his life. And that's what he does. Jesus does that. He transforms all our lives in different ways. We're going to sing a little song. We're going to sing Meekness and Majesty now. And I'm wondering if there's anybody out there who'd like to finish the job that I've just started. If anybody feels that they would like to, during the sermon, polish my frame for me, they'd be very welcome. I'm going to give it to Alison. Alison, you can polish my frame. There you go. Now, I'll expect to see it all finished by the end. Yes. Anyway, we're going to sing, and it's hymn number 356 in your hymn books, Meekness and Majesty.
Today's reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading from verse 1, page 29 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus heals a man born blind. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused him to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin?" Jesus answered, "His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light for the world." After he said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made some mud with the spittle. He rubbed the mud on the man's eyes and said, "Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam." This means sent. So the man went, washed his face, and came back seeing. His neighbors then, and the people who had seen him begging before this, asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "He is the one." But others said, "No, he isn't. He just looks like him." So the man himself said, "I am the man." "How is it that you can now see?" they asked him. He answered, "The man called Jesus made some mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash my face. So I went, and as soon as I washed, I could see." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he answered. The Pharisees investigate the healing. Then they took to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. The day that Jesus made the mud and cured him of his blindness was a Sabbath. The Pharisees then asked the man again how he had received his sight. He told them, "He put some mud on my eyes, I washed my face, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "The man who did this cannot be from God, for he does not obey the Sabbath law." Others, however, said, "How could a man who is a sinner perform such miracles as these?" And there was a division among them. So the Pharisees asked the man once more, "You say he cured you of your blindness. Well, what do you say about him?" "He is a prophet," the man answered. The Jewish authorities, however, were not willing to believe that he had been blind and could now see until they called his parents and asked them, "Is this your son? You say that he was born blind. How is it then that he can now see?" His parents answered, "We know that he is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But we do not know how it is that he is now able to see, nor do we know who cured him of his blindness. Ask him. He is old enough, and he can answer for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, who had already agreed that anyone who said he believed that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That is why his parents said, "He's old enough. Ask him." A second time, they called back the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Promise before God that you will tell the truth. We know that this man who cured you is a sinner." I do not know if he's a sinner or not, the man replied. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. What did he do to you? They asked. How did he cure you of your blindness? I have already told you, he answered, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you too would like to be his disciples. They cursed him and said, You are that fellow's disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for that fellow, however, we do not even know where he comes from. The man answered, What a strange thing that is. You do not know where he comes from, but he cured me of my blindness. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to people who respect him and do what he wants them to do. Since the beginning of the world, nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a person born blind. Unless this man came from God, he would not be able to do a thing. They answered, You were born and brought up in sin, and you are trying to teach us? And they expelled him from the synagogue. Spiritual blindness. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked him, Do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, Tell me who he is, sir, so that I can believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have already seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you now. I believe, Lord, the man said, and knelt down before Jesus. Jesus said, I came to this world to judge, so that the blind should see, and those who see should become blind. Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked him, Surely you don't mean that we are blind too? Jesus answered, If you were blind, then you would not be guilty. But since you claim that you can see, this means that you are still guilty. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Thank you for that reading. We stand and sing again hymn 555, Amazing Grace. People arrived at the pearly gates at the same time, and St. Peter came and told them he had some pressing business and would they please wait. He was gone a long time, and when he came back, he asked one of the new arrivals in and asked if she had minded waiting. "Oh no," she said, "I have looked forward to this for so long. I love God and I can't wait to meet Jesus. I don't mind at all." St. Peter then said, "Well, I have one more question. How do you spell God?" "G-O-D," came the reply. "Go on in," Peter instructed. He called the second arrival in and asked him, did you mind waiting? And the man said, "Oh no, I've been a Christian for 50 years and I'll spend eternity here. I didn't mind waiting." So St. Peter said, "Just one more thing. How do you spell God?" "G-O-D," came the reply. And St. Peter said that was good and sent him on into heaven. St. Peter called the third person in and asked if they had minded waiting. "Well, as a matter of fact, I did," they replied. St. Peter's eyebrows were raised. "Really?" he said. "Yes," the person replied. "I've had to queue all my life. At the supermarket, at the bus stop, at the cinema, everywhere. And I've done it because that's what you do. It's the right thing to do. Obey the rules. And now, having done the right thing all my life, I resent having to queue to get into heaven." So Peter calmly replied, "Well, that's all right for you to feel that way. We won't hold it against you. But there's just one more question. How do you spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?" This person had obeyed the rules, and yet they stumbled at the finishing line. So what was the problem? What were they missing? Hang on to that question. Our Bible reading this morning, again, a long one, and I'm very grateful to Karen for reading it so beautifully, is a story about a healing, an investigation, and a judgment. The story of a blind man's sight being restored, the Pharisees investigate, and Jesus comes and judges. Let's start with the healing. It is a miracle. A man born blind has his sight restored, and his life is transformed. It was an extraordinary miracle. You would have thought it should have been the cause for celebration. But instead, the poor man found people not recognizing him. His parents seemed to be in fear of the Pharisees. Ah, but of course, the rules had been broken. The healing had taken place on the Sabbath. Oops. The Pharisees are angry because rules have been broken, and so they investigate. A life has been restored, and they choose to investigate. Who had the audacity to heal on a Sabbath? And under whose authority did the healing take place if done on the Sabbath? It can't have been God's authority. The healed man tells them that it was a prophet. And not content with his testimony, the Pharisees then call for his parents. And they seem reticent to share any knowledge of what has happened and how it happened. "Ask him. He's old enough and he can answer for himself." The healed man's parents are afraid of losing their place in the synagogue and the community. And so the Pharisees grill the healed man again. It's all starting to get a little bit farcical. And there's a hint of sarcasm in the healed man when he answers, "I have already told you and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you too would like to be his disciples." The Pharisees are getting angry, and they refuse to accept that Jesus was of God. The healed man, in turn, cuts through their questioning and states the obvious. What a strange thing that is. You do not know where he comes from, but he cured me of my blindness. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to people who respect him and who do what he wants them to do. Since the beginning of the world, nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a blind person. Born blind, unless this man came from God, he would not be able to do this thing. The blind man had his sight. It is now the Pharisees that appear to be blind. Having lost the argument, the Pharisees do what sore losers do, and they turf the poor man out of the synagogue. And then comes Jesus' judgment. On hearing what happens, he speaks to the healed man and reassures him. He then turns on the Pharisees. They are the blind ones. They were blind to who Jesus was. They were blind to what God was doing in their midst. And they let their own petty interests and experiences blind them to the real blessing God had in store for them. They weren't bad people. They were simply locked into a certain way of thinking about life and about God. They couldn't or wouldn't see the bigger picture. Their way of living was tied up in rules and regulations. Their way of worshipping God was tied up in rules and regulations. Rules were being broken and they were blinded to who Jesus was. Their safety net, their rules were being cast overboard and they were rattled. Blind to Jesus, they took refuge in their rule book, the rule book Jesus came to rewrite because it needed rewritten. The Pharisees had used rules to control people, and you might have some sympathy for them. The Jewish people lived in an occupied land, and there was an uneasy peace between the Roman rulers and the Jewish people. And so the Pharisees didn't want this peace broken. They liked things just as they were. And along comes Jesus, teaching a new way, and they weren't having it. So blinded by their rule book, they failed to see that Jesus' way was the right way. They failed to see that God was more interested in the heart than he is in the rule book. Jesus gave a man his life back by restoring his sight. A man who had spent his years begging because it was the only thing he could do, could now play a full role in his family and in the community. But rather than seeing a restored human being, the Pharisees saw rules that had been broken. If only they could have opened not just their eyes, but their hearts as well, then they might have seen what had happened and the transformation that had taken place. I want to rewind a wee bit to the part of the story where the healed man's neighbours didn't recognise him. It occurs to me that we too are often blind to people we don't want to bother with. This man would have got up every day and probably gone to the same spot every day to beg. His neighbours would have been used to seeing him do this, but he was so inconsequential to their lives that they really didn't know what he looked like or even cared. This man lived in plain sight of his neighbours, and they had no idea what he looked like. I wonder if we can be guilty of that too, ignoring those whose lives mean nothing to us, or worse still, blocking them out and refusing to look in case we end up involved in their lives. The blind man in our story catches the light that is God's love shown to him in Jesus. The light that is spoken about in the opening verses of John's Gospel is seen by him for the first time. The light has overcome his darkness. There's a story about a beggar who was sitting across the street from an artist's studio. The artist saw him and thought to himself, what an interesting portrait study he would make. And so he painted the beggar. He painted the defeated man with his drooped shoulders, his downcast and sad eyes. And when he finished, he took the portrait over to the beggar to show it to him. Who is that? The beggar asked, The painting bore a slight resemblance to him, himself, he thought, but in the painting he saw a man with dignity, with squared shoulders and bright uplifted eyes, almost handsome. Is that me? I don't look like that. And the artist replied, that is the person I see in you. What a shame the Pharisees didn't do the same thing. Instead of seeing broken rules, a supposed sin, what a pity they didn't see the life restored and share the joy of the man in front of their eyes. The God they worship through their rules doesn't see people through a rule book. He sees people and reads their hearts instead. God doesn't see us as everyone else sees us. People around us may see us and make a judgment. They look cool. Wow. They're successful. Oh dear, they don't look very attractive. Gosh, I wish I was as popular as them. All these judgments that we make, none of that matters to God. God sees in our heart. He sees who we really are. People sometimes wish they could fool him, like those we have fooled into thinking that maybe we are a bit more confident than we really are, or more content with our lot than we really are. We have more than them. All the things that we try to fool people into believing. On the flip side, perhaps we're deeply grateful that God sees through the negative, shallow judgments that others make of us. Maybe it's a bit of both. The healed man in our Bible story was delighted. He didn't care if his cure wasn't approved of by the Pharisees. Through Jesus, he was restored and he felt loved. His life was transformed. He was blind, but now could see. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace that we just sang, John was a man whose life was transformed by finding Jesus in his life. He put aside his former life as a captain of a slave ship and became a follower of Christ and went on to be ordained by the Church of England. Not so much physically blind, but spiritually blind. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Jesus wants our eyes open. He wants us to see the great truth of his love for us. He doesn't want us tied up in knots over man-made rules and regulations, traditions and I-beams. He doesn't want us to be blind to those in our midst who need our help and our support. He doesn't want us to be blind to the pollution of the world, the bitterness and the hatred of others towards those who are different, and oh well, the list could go on and on. He doesn't want us to use religion like the Pharisees did to control people for fear that their religious orderliness might be disturbed. And he certainly doesn't want us to be like the third person at the pearly gates. Remember them? Demanding the right of entry because they'd done all the right things. What Jesus wants us to do is to open the eyes of those we meet to the reality of God's love for all. He wants us to live lives that say and do the right things because of what's in here, in our hearts, not for what we might get out of it. He wants us to be the ones to be the light that shines in the darkness of our world. Amen. We continue our worship, this time in our offering. us pray. Holy One, we bring you all that we have, the senses we employ to see and taste, to hear and speak, to help and care, to give and receive, that all we have and all we are be yours today and always. Amen. We stand to sing together hymn 52 in your hymn books, How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. Friend, we thank you for the wonders of your world, our world. And we thank you for hope and light and clarity, vision cleared to see the world as it could be. We pray today for those whose vision is not clear, those who cannot or will not see poverty, hunger, sickness for what they really are. Not punishment for foolish behaviour, not the fault of weak and vulnerable people, but rather the result of greed and selfishness. We pray for justice in our world. We pray for those who are different, that those who are different may be seen and loved for who they are. We pray for those who want to make a difference, that they may be empowered. And we pray for those who can make a difference, that they may be inspired to take action today and always. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, 132, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
Thank you.
enlightened, washed, transformed by the presence of Jesus, go in peace, in wonder and in love. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest with you this day and always.